Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey. So here we are, back again for another episode of Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. And we're delighted that you've joined us. If you've just been hearing a little bit about our episode,
We had an episode earlier, but then we got over it.
Yeah, God for medicine.
Dan, when you're your age and my age, episodes are a daily thing of life. Yes.
It's, and we say that in church. How are you feeling? Well, I had an episode. So we're talking about things that you can do to make a difference in your church as you revitalize and as you replant. You're facing some issues that you have to face. And there are some things that that we hope that we can answer for you in this episode, because today we're talking about three things that every revitalizing pastor must do. Now, I'm going to tell you right up front what those are, so that if you don't want to listen, you could go ahead and click out.
But you always do.
Yeah. You must know a revitalizing pastor must know himself, he must know his church, and he must know his community. Now, we have things to talk about in
there
those
we do.
Things, and these are important points that you can apply. So, Mark, we have a guest. Introduce him, and let's get started.
Mark Halleck, my buddy, my friend, the Broncos' number one fan.
I'm a big fan of a bad team.
I know. That's true.
Kansas City Chiefs took us out.
I know. But, you know, when I was a young man, it was all about Elway. I got so tired of hearing about Elway.
Yeah. He was good.
He was good. But I'm glad he's not around anymore. Anyway, Mark Halleck, we're at Mark's Church, Calvary Church in Englewood. If you know anything about replanting the Calvary Network, man, it is absolutely the place for replanting. And so, Mark, we're glad you're hosting us here in your building as we produce these podcasts.
Oh, man, I'm so glad you guys are here. This is awesome.
It's
seriously
fun. Love you. And Mark's Church has been replanted, doing a great job, has got 30 churches out there in their network. They've replanted or planted all across the Mountain States. And so we just want to help pastors like and leaders that are listening to us.
Amen, absolutely.
Yeah, care for you, love you.
Yep.
Especially normative-sized pastors. Let you know there's hope, there's future. And so Dan brought up a really good topic, the three things every revitalizing pastor must do in order to see his church be revitalized.
And the first one is that he must know himself. What does that mean?
Well, you got to have some emotional intelligence. Actually, we have 16 characteristics of a revitalizing pastor, and emotional intelligence is among the top of them. You got to know your strengths. You got to know your weaknesses. You got to know when you walk into a room if you make that room better or worse. You got to know what your face looks like.
That's right.
When you
walk in,
do you have this attitude of happiness and hopefulness, or do you look like you just, you know, you're mad at the world don't believe in anything? But Mark, you're good at that. Talk to us about what it means to know yourself.
It is. You're nailing it, man. It's self-awareness. I mean, do you really know honestly who you are? I mean, it's hard to lead a church back to life and joy in Jesus if you come off mad and you come off really cold and you think you're warm.
And depressed.
Yes, and depressed. Yeah. I mean, this is not going to go well for anybody.
Right.
So this is partly why we need to be men who are cultivating humility, men and women. I mean, but as pastors, cultivating humility, surrounding ourselves with others who can speak honestly into our lives. And to not see that as a threat. But the truth is, we're here to serve God's people. And so part of that is, if I'm going to serve God's people well, I need to be aware of who I actually am.
Right.
How do I come off to people? My tone, my face, like you said.
What
are my strengths? And being honest about my strengths. But where am I not as strong?
Absolutely.
And being honest with my weaknesses.
Yep.
And Lord knows, here's the truth, Mark. I mean, most of us, we may have a few strengths. Praise God. We want to lean into those. We've got a lot of areas where we're not strong, but others are.
Yeah.
And so part of growing in self-awareness is saying, man, I need help. And I believe that's actually key to helping churches come back to life.
You know, I think one of the things I've learned in the last couple of decades, the last decade anyway, is to really make myself vulnerable to a group of men in my church. Even my preaching, especially my preaching, and to say, you know, hey, every Sunday, you're free to autopsy this message. In fact, when I was back at Warnell Road in Kansas City, we did that every Sunday. I would ask our elders, you know, on email or even on the phone after Sunday evening, hey, let's autopsy how I did. Now, I don't mean I'm not looking for compliments here. I mean, and they would sometimes.
Sure. They want encouragement.
They would say, you know, you start out loud, then you got louder, you know. You know, maybe you start out lower. Because once you start out at that level, there's not many places to go, Mark.
You're not going down for that.
No. But one time they said, I know Kumar said to me one time, he said, well, I could tell you weren't comfortable preaching, so you started telling a story. Mm. And he said, that really spoke to me that you trusted your story more than you trusted the scripture.
Wow.
Like, okay, he was right. You know, I get that. Yeah. And so I was preaching in my flesh at that point. Yeah. And so you become a better preacher when you open yourself up to really men that you trust who really pour into you and say, you need to probably do this. Maybe you should look at doing that. I used to walk, and maybe you walk around the stage. That's fine. That's who you are. Go for it. You know, used to be that was the only exercise I got was really walking around the stage on Sunday mornings. I used to cover the whole stage, man.
I'd like to get to the very edge,
you know. And I fell off the back one time. I was at church in Topeka, and I didn't know they had a gap between the back.
Is there video?
Why would you have a gap between the back of the stage and the wall? Why would you even do that? But they did. It's only about 2 feet, but I fell off, so I disappeared.
You fell hard.
I fell hard.
Wow.
So the next Sunday, I was their interim. The next Sunday, they had a bungee cord there on the pulpit. That's true. Seriously. What were we talking about?
No, listen, that's all right. I got you.
What were we talking about?
Knowing yourself.
So, so I used to just run around the pulpit all the time. But I had somebody tell me, you know what? That's a little distracting. Yeah. And now I stand behind the pulpit. Mm. I don't move at all. Now, I'm not telling you one's wrong and one's right. But my emotions were distracted.
Yeah, that's good.
And my wife would say, you know, you rub your head too much or you rub your stomach too much.
Yeah.
I said, I don't rub my stomach. She said, do we need to go to the video? Do we need to go to the replay?
You actually do.
And I said, yes. And so we went to the video because on Facebook, like, you bet. It's a self-soothing kind of motion.
Rubbing your belly. Just rubbing that belly. It's just...
You know, I can't believe Nam lets us put this on, frankly.
Unbelievable.
They may not anymore.
But seriously, you've got to know yourself. Do you spend $20 on a 20-cent problem in your church?
Yeah,
you make problems worse just by your attitude. Yep. What's your facial expressions? How do you raise up leaders? And what are your strengths in preaching? What's your weaknesses in preaching?
Yes, yes.
Right? What are your interpersonal skills?
Yep. I mean, that's huge because, I mean, listen, if what we have to do, from the very beginning, if you're going to lead a church back to life, is you've got to earn trust. Trust is everything. Yep. And the way you earn trust, I believe, is through love. It's through loving God's people. And I'm telling you what, if they don't feel loved by you, and that comes through, you know, this is where healthy touch, this is where, you know, I'm such a believer in relentlessly encouraging people. This is how you build trust. But if you haven't said an encouraging word to anybody for years, or that feels weird to you and you're unaware of it, that's a problem.
Right.
So we've got to grow in love. And part of how we do that is saying, listen, how am I coming off? Because loving God's people is key. When we talk about preach, pray, love, and stay, how are you loving people? And are you aware of how they feel around you?
Yeah. And I think one of the things about knowing yourself, not only your strengths and knowing your weaknesses, but understanding that your worth does not come in how you perform as a pastor.
Amen, that's right.
Your worth does not come in how well you preach or how well your people like you. Your worth, you ready, was settled at Calvary.
Mm. Amen, that's right.
And you don't have to ever worry about it again. And if you find your worth in the cross, then you're not always trying to worry about, do people really like me? How do I compare to other pastors?
That's right.
You know, that you do that, you're feeding off of your church. And you don't want to feed off your people. You want to feed your
people.
Amen.
That's so good.
And so you have to know yourself. And the main thing you have to know is that you've been redeemed.
That's
you've been called. And you are loved beyond any way you could imagine. And you are valuable not because of your inerrant worth, but because of what Jesus has
done
for you.
And the overflow of that reality is joy, man.
It should be.
It's joy in your preaching. It's joy in your love for people. Because it's been settled through the gospel.
Absolutely.
Praise God.
Yep. Yeah.
So if you discover yourself, and realize in discovering yourself that you have a worth that God wants to use in this particular ministry, the next step, obviously, is you have to know your church.
Boy, don't you really? Not the church you think you have or the church you wish you have, but what is the church you have? Yeah. Who do you really have there?
Reality. Yeah.
The reality. And the reality could be really harsh, right? I mean, sometimes we don't want to deal with reality. I mean, you know, we look at the we get on the scale in the morning in the bathroom and you go, I don't want to deal with that reality. So I'll just make
not
up a number.
Not looking good this morning.
Not looking good this morning. So, I mean, you've got to know your church. You got to know, first of all, are your people truly from the community? Mm. You know, I used to always say, and I still do, go back 20, 25 years to a church pictorial directory. Everybody had them because Olin Mills was everywhere.
Everywhere.
And go back to your church directory and look at your Olin Mills pictures. And you can take a map and you should pinpoint where all those members lived in reference to the location of your church building. By the way, have you heard the church is not a building? Have you heard that?
I've heard that somewhere.
Listen, the seminary student told me that today. Just changed my whole life.
It's incredible.
It really did.
What an idea.
We know the church isn't a building, all right? We got that. But it is the place where we gather, all right? So you take that directory and you pinpoint where those members were 20, 25 years ago. Then you take your church directory today and you look at that map. First of all, you'll probably see fewer pins, but also you may see a lot fewer around that church.
Yeah.
And that tells you something. You may have some great people who love Jesus, but they're driving miles coming in. They're not part of that community. They drive in, they go to church, and they drive out. How do you reach the community if people don't live in the community?
That's right.
So that's what I mean. You have to know your church. You also have to know how old they are, their background, how long. Take a church survey, and in that Sunday morning survey, you can simply put down there, you know, what is your age bracket? And then, when did you come to know Christ? And when were you baptized? And when did you join a Southern Baptist church? And oftentimes what you'll find out is you don't have hardly any new Christians in your church at all.
Yeah.
Everybody's been a believer for decades. They've been a Southern Baptist for decades. They're content in that culture, but they don't know much outside that culture. Well, I'm just saying you got to know that in order to really be able to strategize to reach your community.
That's so good.
And we just often don't know our
church
people
like
we should.
You know, another thing comes to mind is, you know, one of the things I've learned in marriage is a lot of things, actually.
Yes.
I'm still learning.
We all three have.
But I think one of the things is, man, if I'm going to serve my wife and she's going to feel loved by me, I need to learn to love what she loves.
Oh, wow. That's good.
I need to learn to love what she loves. And we don't always love. Listen, I'm not a big, I'm not a big checkers guy. My wife loves it. So, like, guess what? I'm going to learn to love it. I think it's true with churches.
That's true.
I think part of what happens when we go into a declining church is instead of saying, here's where we're going, and this is what we're doing, and this is the answer, and this is what I'm passionate about, I think our posture should be, what do these people love?
Mm-hmm.
What do they love? What are those memories? As I get to, because I'm entering into a story, right? I'm entering into a story when I go to a church. You know, it's like going to Thanksgiving dinner. And if I've been invited to a dinner, and they're all talking about how much they love grandma's, you know, pudding and the rolls and there's this meal they eat every year and I'm there and I'm criticizing. Guess what? I'm out, man. I'm criticizing the pumpkin pie, man.
Oh, that's true.
That's Aunt Jeannie's pumpkin pie.
Right.
It's the best pumpkin pie.
Right.
So part of it is I'm coming into and you're coming into a story that God has been telling and he's been at work. And so I need to learn, first of all, to humble myself and begin to hear the story and begin to love the story.
Right.
Begin to love the things that they love. Now, there's also pains in the past, and I've got to understand the hurt because that's shaped many people here. But it begins with being a listener. It begins with, again, not only hearing the pain and entering into the pain, but I would say enjoying the things they enjoy and loving what they love.
Yeah, I agree. Mark told me a story one time that as he was replanting here and new people started coming, and there were sort of two churches here.
Yeah.
And you can't Velcro two churches together.
No.
You can't do that. They've got to be one family. It's got to be one church.
That's right.
So talk real quick about how you had that retreat and how that changed everything.
Oh, man, that changed everything. It changed everything. So we, when I came, we were about 30 folks and tired, sweet people, loved Jesus like so many declining churches. Well, over time, several months, whatever, the first year we'll say, the church doubled. So we were about 60 people. So you had the 30 original folks who remained. And then we had 30 new people. Now, that can be kind of weird. That's kind of awkward.
Remember
new
two
dynamics.
Episodes ago we talked about the berry bucket?
Yes, I kind of do. I wasn't sure what you were saying. But
I want
maybe
you to
remind
two
us.
Two buckets on a seesaw. And one's full of berries and one doesn't have any. And the berries are the people that are there when you got there.
Yes.
And then as more people come, the other bucket fills up.
Yes.
And the center of gravity shifts.
That's exactly right.
So you had a new berry bucket.
I love the berry bucket.
There you go.
That's right. And the picture is, listen, and if your heart is, man, forget the people who have been here. We're all about reaching new people. You shouldn't be a replanter.
Say that
again. If all you care about is reaching new people, and that's what you're really excited about, and you're okay with leaving the faithful behind, you should not be a revival. The truth is, you shouldn't be a pastor.
Amen.
To be honest, because those are God's people. But then the leadership challenge is, how do we bring these two groups together so that they fall in love with each other, right? So for us, I said, I don't know how to do this other than I'd been a youth pastor for years. And what I knew is, man, there's something about going on a retreat together that just, it's a different dynamic. And so by God's grace, we were able to pull it off. And we took the whole, basically the whole 60 people, our whole church, on this retreat. And here's what we did. The first night, we sat around in a circle, and I looked at the 30 faithful and said, hey, listen, will you just tell us the stories of Calvary? Will you just tell us the history? We're new here. And through tears, we heard stories of old Christmas pageants and stories of folks coming to the Lord from the community and the preschool and how God's used that and these stories. And we literally 2 hours just listening to the stories. Well, you can imagine, you're looking at the faces of all these new people.
Right.
And they love what you're saying.
Yeah.
They find it beautiful. This is God at work. The next morning, I flipped it. I said, I looked at the other 30 and said, listen, last night we heard all these sweet folks share the stories of what God has done. And now you guys are coming to this church. And why are you here? I'm sure they're all wondering why you're here. And for 2 hours, they shared about all the things they loved about these people. And they loved this old building.
Yeah, that's great.
And they loved the history. And they were excited about the future. And that led us to our third session in the afternoon where we brought these two together and said, you know what, guys? God's doing something here. Let's dream together now about building off the past, but what could the future look like? And man, I'll never forget. It was the best brainstorming session we've ever had. And we had old Dave Elliott, who was the patriarch of the church. He got a marker out. We got the whiteboard and we're brainstorming. We're just dreaming. When we left and came to church that next morning, it was a different church.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We'd fallen in love with each other.
There you go.
And it was beautiful.
And it all begins with knowing your church.
That's right.
I mean, really, really knowing it. The ins, the outs, the ups, the downs, the bad, the good.
That's right.
Knowing what you've got, knowing where to start.
But it doesn't end with that.
It doesn't.
Because from that point, you've got to know your community.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
And your community's always changing.
Always.
One of the reasons it's so frustrating to be a pastor is just the time you think you figured out your community, it's changed again.
Yeah.
It's like it's pastoring so true. A parade.
Yep.
Especially in some of these, like we talk about, the inner suburban rings,
yeah,
where they're always churning. Always new people coming in, neighborhoods are getting redone, all kinds of folks coming and going. And by the way, it's not changing economies, it's not changing immigration policies. That kind of thing is not what's bringing these people in. It's the sovereignty of God who's bringing these people to your church, to your neighborhood,
amen,
to be reached with the gospel. God's bringing them to you.
That's right.
But do you really know
your
community, or do you just think you know
your
community?
And part of the way you get to know your community, and this is an encouragement I would say to all pastors, is you got to get them literally. When I came here, I was like, how do I get these folks to actually just learn the names, literally, of the apartment, of the folks in the apartments around us?
Yeah, if you're here at this church, their parking lot, the church parking lot just butts up right against the apartment complex.
That's right. And so here's what we did. We got the whole church here. There were 50 of us. I bought 100 light bulbs. And I said, listen, we're going to go to every one of these homes. We're going to go to all these apartments and just knock on the door and say, hey, we got a light bulb for you. Who's going to turn down a light bulb?
There you go.
And say, we're just from the neighborhood here. We just want to love you. We just want to be good neighbors. And you can imagine, we gave away 100 light bulbs and we got to know some people.
Right.
And it was a win. And we came back to the church and shared stories. And so part of this is, Pastor, you got to just figure out very simple, practical ways to get your people in the community so that you can know the community.
And we talk all the time about, people will say, well, we had a block party and we had a moonwalk and face painted and gave away diapers. And they came and got their face painted and took our diapers and jumped on our moonwalk and ate our snow cones. But they didn't come on Sunday morning.
That's right, right, right.
Well, because on Sunday morning, you didn't have a moonwalk and snow cones and paint their faces.
Yes.
You know, and give away diapers. I mean, but you don't do that to get them in your
that's
building.
That's exactly right.
You do that to get the people in your building into the lives of the people,
amen,
in the neighborhood.
And that's a major shift.
It's a huge shift, entire shift. Also, you should go visit every nonprofit in your community and talk to every nonprofit about what they do and how they do it. And is there any way you could help them do it?
That's right.
You need to go visit every school.
Every school.
You need to go visit every nursing home if you can.
Yep.
You need to go visit all the other churches in your community. When I was at Warnell, I went and visited the Catholic church down the street. Those two churches have been 8 or 10 blocks apart for 100 years. Nobody had ever talked to anybody
yep.
in those churches.
Yep.
And so I invited the Catholic priest. He came up to my office. I think he was a little nervous for at first.
Sure he was.
I had some busts of Calvin and Luther and I did actually, and I put them out there. But those are my saints right there. We joked about that and laughed about it a little bit. But he was able to really tell me a lot about the community. He has a school, right?
Yeah.
Grade school through high school.
Yeah.
He knew a lot of.
That's
I learned
right.
more
Lots
about the community
families.
That day from him. And I visited all the other pastors.
Yep.
Those, you know, there's a lot of pastors in our community that don't preach the gospel, that don't believe in biblical marriage. Why would I go see them? First of all, I want them to know who I am.
Mm.
I want them to know what our church teaches and that we love people. Yep. But also, I want to learn from them. They know the community. So get to know your community.
I love it.
You need to be the biggest expert about your community. You just know everything about it.
That's so good.
And if you don't, you're really not a missionary there.
That's right.
Right?
And that's it. You're a missionary.
You're a missionary.
It's a missionary mindset.
And God not only called you to that church, or he did call you to that church primarily, but he called you to that community.
That's right.
And there are some Monday mornings I'm ready to leave the church, but I'm not ready to leave the community.
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredibly important when you understand that your church is the community.
Absolutely.
You know? And there are people there just waiting for you to connect with them. So there you have it. Three things that every revitalizing pastor must do. We're going to wrap this up. And thank you so much. You can subscribe to our podcast. We wish you would. It would help us build our audience. And at the same time, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to connect with us and let us know about that. And just a final word, Kyle is our producer. Kyle, could you come up with a different logo for us, something with bucket berries that could
berry
just...
buckets. Berry buckets.
Berry buckets.
Actually, that was not my original idea. I can't remember who it was. There was a church consultant years ago that came up with the berry buckets.
Okay, there you go.
But we probably ought to change it to like a bucket of nuts.
We need a berry bucket t-shirt.
A berry bucket t-shirt.
Oh, we're on to a whole
in.
New...
I think I went to school with Berry Bucket. I think I knew that guy.
Hey, we're done.
Shut this down.
We're done.
Please subscribe. Bye.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.